Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, will read the translation for text 28. There's no purport. The son of Shukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, "O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmin in this way." Text 29. Shri Narada Vacha Guru Naivam Prati Proto Buya Ahasuras Buya Ahasura Sutam
Buya Ahasura Sutam
Nached Guru Mukhiyam Te
Nached Guru Mukhiyam Te
Kuto Bhadra Sati Mati
Kuto Bhadra Sati Mati
Shri Narada Vacha
Narada
Muni
said
Guru Na by the teacher Evam, thus, prati prokta, being answered, uyaha, again, aha, said, asura, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, sutam, unto his son, na, not, chet, if Guru Mukhi issued from the mouth of your teacher, Iyam, this, Te, your, Kutaha, from where, Abhadra, O inauspicious one, Asati, very bad, Mati, inclination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, when Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, he again addressed his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, "You rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it?" Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that devotional service is actually Bhadra Sati, not Abhadra Asati. In other words, knowledge of devotional service can neither be inauspicious nor contrary to etiquette. To learn devotional service is the duty of everyone. Therefore, a spontaneous education of Prahlad Maharaj is supported as auspicious and perfect. Now the question is, what's auspicious and what's not auspicious? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are three modes of nature, and one will see things differently according to the mode of nature one is situated on. And the mode of ignorance, then it says, adharmam dharmam itiya manite tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitam cha buddhi saparta tamasi. They think that what is to be done is not to be done. And what is not to be done, that's what we're supposed to do. And therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. Now in the mode of goodness, it is said, actually what's the first word? Navrittim cha, pravrittim cha. No, that's not. That's the Pandam moksha chiyaveti buddhi saparata satviki. So that's Pravittim Ja. Yeah, that's good. Pravittim Ja, Navrittim Ja. Karya Karya Bhayabhaye, Bandha Moksha Chayaveti, Buddhi Saparatha Sattviki. So one knows what is Pravitti, what is we're supposed to do, and Navritti, what we're not supposed to do. And what is Karya Karya Bhayabhaye, what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared. Such intelligence is said to be in the mode of goodness. And then the next one is Iya Adharman Dharman Cha Karya Kara Bhayabhaye Bandamoksha. Iya Adharman Dharman Cha Karyam Char Karyam Eva Cha Prajahati Ayatarabhat Prajanati Pudisaparta Rajasi. So one thinks that one knows sometimes what is to be done and sometimes what is not to be done. His intelligence is said to be the mode of passion. So everyone will see things differently. And even there are scriptures that see things differently. Therefore it says that Tarka Apratishta Shutiya Vibhina. Vibhina means difference. So even the scriptures say different things. There is a Ramayan for those in the mode of goodness, and there is even a Ramayan for those in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of goodness, then Lord Ramachandra is the hero, and Ravana is the demon. And the mode of ignorance, Ravana is the hero, and Lord Ramachandra is the demon. Therefore, according to one's perspective, one will see different things as good and different things as bad. Now, generally speaking, demons will always see the opposite of the devotees. That's why they're demons. And when the demons see things as the same way as the devotees, then they're not demons, they're devotees. And also, when the devotees start seeing things in the same way as the demons, they cease to be devotees, they become demons. Now, if one is actually a devotee, he won't become a demon. But if one becomes a demon, it means that one was actually not a devotee. One could have been an aspiring devotee, but devotees don't become demons, real devotees. If we're actually devoted to Krishna, then there's no question of becoming a demon, because there are different qualities of devotional service, as we've said before. I guess you finished the nectar devotion, so everyone knows the qualities. Who is in the nectar devotion class? You're hardly raising your hand. There you go. Did you finish the testing and everything? Everyone pass? Okay. So everyone knows. You will take back their diplomas if they don't answer the questions properly? Oh yeah. Be careful. So there are two qualities of devotional service in the mode in sadhana bhakti, two qualities in bhava bhakti, and two qualities in prema bhakti. So this should be old philosophy for most of you. So what are the two qualities in sadhana bhakti? Even if you don't know the Sanskrit, you only get half credit if you don't know the Sanskrit. If you know the English, at least you get half credit. Yes? Yes. So even in the beginning of devotional service, sadhana bhakti is, one is not liberated. Or actually, sadhana bhakti goes all the way up to asakti. So one could be liberated. But in the beginning, one is not necessarily liberated. Still, devotional service, kleshagni, it takes away suffering and it's auspicious. But here, Harini Kashyapu is saying it's inauspicious. But even at the beginning, devotional service is auspicious, and if one is not performing devotional service, then it's inauspicious. It may be on the path of auspiciousness. For instance, varna and ashram is the path of auspiciousness, but until one actually becomes liberated, it's still within the material world. And therefore it's not completely auspicious. Therefore, when Ramananda Roy was speaking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya was asking him questions, then Ramananda Roy, he first answered, because Lord Chaitanya said, what is the goal of life and how can you achieve it? And Ramananda Roy answered, Varnashrama acharvitaha purushena pumakpuman vishnara radite panta. That varnashram can bring one to the goal of life. But Lord Chaitanya said, eko baya, this is external. So does that mean Lord Chaitanya was rejecting varnashram? Yes, he was rejecting a varnashram as the process of devotional service, as the process that is on the highest perfection of life, or the process in this age that can bring one to the highest perfection of life. Because vanashram is within the material world, and the material world is inauspicious. It doesn't matter if you're a kshatriya, or if you're a shudra, or if you're a vaishya, or if you're a kshatriya or a brahmin. If you're in the material world, and therefore it's inauspicious. It's not subhada, it's not auspicious. Why? Because what is the qualification of auspicious? Well, I went to school, I'm not a fool. I know the rules. And therefore I can collect money and get fame and fortune and material happiness. And therefore how could it be inauspicious that one goes to the astrologer, according to Lord Chaitanya, who was telling Sanatana Goswami, that one man, he heard that his father left him a treasure, and he went to the astrologer and asked him where he could find it. So the astrologer told him, don't dig on the western side, because there is venomous snakes and they'll bite you. If you dig on the northern side, there's ghosts and they'll bewilder you. And then on the southern side, I forget what happens if you dig on there, wasps. And if you dig on the eastern side, then you'll discover the fortune that your father left for you. So similarly, jnana, karma, yoga, although from the material estimate, they're actually very auspicious. They give you material opportunities, material health and wealth and whatever thing. But from the spiritual point of view, they're all inauspicious. Mamu petya punarajanma, dukhalyam ashasvatam, napnuvanti mahatmana, samsidim paramangataha. From the high, mamu petya punarajanma. Those who are yogis, who are actually devotees, mamu petya punarajanma, they don't take birth again. Because mamu petya punarajanma, dukhalyam ashasvatam. In this temporary, miserable world. Now we may think it's a nice world. Why is Krishna always criticizing this world? There's so many nice things here. And he must be just, he must have some problems himself, and therefore he's always pessimistic, always saying bad things about others. He even says, you know, Swavidra Hostra Kara. He's always criticizing. What kind of mood he must be in. We should send him a nice, soft, fluffy pet and maybe he'll get into a different mood. Oh, I'm in the field. No, he says it's miserable and it's temporary. Now, anyone who thinks it's not temporary, then good luck. And if you think it's not miserable, then just wait a few years. It'll all be revealed to you. You'll get spontaneous realizations as time goes on. So, but, you know, here, yes, it's miserable. You know, we're not so much in Ljubljana because prasadam's good. And the weather's pretty good right now. No problem. It hasn't rained and we're in Padyatra and getting a suntan, enough vitamin D for the week. Life is good. But Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Panarvartanojana Mamupetya Tukonteya Panarjanmana Vidite. From the highest planet, which is Brahma Loka, where people live for 311 trillion 40 billion years, down to the lowest, they're all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So even we go to Brahma Loka and we check our calendar and we find out, wow, I'm 5 billion years old and I'm young. I haven't, you know, I'm still in public school. Life is good. I'm going to be here practically forever. But it's ashasvatam. Even in Brahma Loka, it's all temporary. The, as Lomasha Rishi, the hairy Rishi, can testify. His body was covered with hair. And every time a Brahma would be born, and every time a Brahma would die, one of his hairs would fall out. Every 311 trillion, 40 billion years, one of his hairs on his body would fall out. And he had thousands and thousands of hairs on his body. So he'd live as long as there would be any hair left in his body. So one day, which is 311 trillion, 40 billion years, multiplied by hundreds and thousands. So that we'd say that's practically forever. But from his point of view, he was meditating on the bank of the Ganges and his disciples came and said, Guru Maharaj, it's getting a little warm. Shouldn't we build you a Vajra Kutir? You can go inside and do your meditation there. He said, well, what's the use? He said, I'm only going to be alive for a short period of time. And we think we're going to be here practically forever. Therefore, even one can go to Brahma Loka, even one can get all mystic power, can get everything he wants, still it's not very auspicious. Prahlad Maharaj was given an opportunity to take any benediction he wanted. But Prahlad Maharaj refused all the benedictions. He said, I saw my father, he was on the top of the universe. Even the demigods were afraid when he raised his eyebrows. But in 1 second, by the slash of your fingernails, everything was taken away. So why should I want anything in this material world which will be quickly taken away? And then I don't know what my ultimate destination is going to be. Therefore, the only auspicious activity is devotional service. That's the beginning of auspiciousness. Even if we're not perfect, even if we're just beginning, it's more auspicious than any other activity in this universe. Actually, it's more auspicious to take birth in Kali Yuga and perform devotional service than it is to take birth on Brahma Loka. Now, of course, most of us, we had a choice, you know. Would you like, you know, someone came and said, would you like to go to Brahma Loka right now? You know, we can't guarantee you're going to live for another 311 trillion, 40 billion years because the half the universe has gone away. You'll only live for another 150 trillion years. Is that all right? I don't know. Let me think about it. Could you make it 151 trillion? No, I forgot to tell you. There's an extra 40 billion years to get along with. Okay. Or would you like to go back to the spiritual world and live forever? Oh, well, I don't know. Let me ask my mom. She usually has a good... It's like that famous movie of Turukram. Has anyone seen that movie? Turukram. Tukaram. You seen it? Yeah, it was a long ago movie. Came out probably in the 20s. In any case, Tukaram was a famous kirtaniya in South India. And it said he was a disciple of Lord Chaitanya. And he'd go around everywhere chanting Hare Krishna at a kirtan party. So even in his lifetime, a Vaikuntha airplane came to take him back to the spiritual world. So all the villages, all the followers of Tukaram, saw the Vaikuntha airplane. They were very excited. They ran to tell Tukaram that a Vaikuntha airplane is coming to take you back to the spiritual world. So he was very excited himself, and he ran in to tell his wife. He said, come with me, we can go back to the spiritual world. And she said, well, go back to the spiritual world. I can't go right now. I have a lot of things to do in the house. I finished all the housework. You go to the spiritual world, you know, maybe I'll come later. So Sri Guru said, are you sure? She said, no problem. I just got to finish a few things in the house. So he went there, and the Vaikuntha airplane took him up, and she said, wait a second. Maybe I made a mistake. And she started to run to get into the Vaikuntha airplane. And by this time, the Vaikuntha airplane had taken off, and Tukaram was waving to everyone, and then she falls down and she faints. She missed the boat or the plane. So that's material life. We think there's so many important things to do. How can I actually get inside that Vaikuntha airplane? Let me finish all my duties and hopefully it doesn't take off. What time is it leaving anyhow? In 15 minutes. Oh my God, I think, well, anyhow, ask them if they can wait another 15 minutes. He's been waiting 3 hours anyhow, you know. So we should know what's auspicious and what's not auspicious. Otherwise, we may be creating our future destination, which is not exactly what we thought it was, because we think something which is to be done is actually not to be done, and something that's not to be done, we think we take that as our duty in life. And therefore, we know Hiranyakashipu, his destination would not have been very auspicious, but since he has a son, like Prahlad Maharaj, therefore he got the darshan of Krishna in the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And therefore, although it was tough love, you can say, ultimately it was auspicious. Lord Nrisimhadeva scratched his belly out of love, and the result is he got liberation, such as the auspicious touch of Lord Krishna and Nrisimhadeva. Otherwise, his life was completely inauspicious. He was against everything good, and he was for everything that was bad, and therefore his destination would have been very bad. Although, from his vision, he got everything he wanted. He got a great material position, and all power, and apparently great longevity, but his mentality was all wrong. Therefore, his destination would have been very inauspicious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Can we apply this as an analogy with the airplane to such set of occurrences, like, for example, as well as Bhaktacharya Maharaj's departure, that for us it seems he has some unfinished business, like his D-Land project, but for him it's just his plane arrived and he's left. Can we think, oh, why didn't you know? Why didn't you wait 3 more years or something? Can we use this as an analogy that, okay, that's his airplane, that's his time?
Well, if you want to wait here till the whole universe goes back to Godhead, you can do that, but then Krishna said, Lord Chaitanya tell Vasudeva, but then Krishna will fill up the universe again. So, this idea that sometimes it's auspicious to leave and sometimes it's all If you go back to the spiritual world, it's all auspicious. And if you don't, everything here is inauspicious. We should know what the goal is. The goal is not to have a farm project or this or that. To go back to the spiritual world, that's the goal. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Gurudev Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.